And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I tell you what, you know, every once in a while, and I say this, will be the second time this week, which means we're on a second helping of what we like to call home fries, which basically means we're looking around the state and recognizing there's news that happens right here. Sometimes you got to know it because it is impactful. What happens in our state capitol, our city halls? You know, like the debate we just had right there, some agree and some don't agree with that city ordinance. But we got, and by the way, Butters made a great point during the break that you can't say the law is the law. Like somebody said, the law is the law, move on. No. The law is the law. Yes, you got to abide by it, but you're allowed to debate it. You're allowed to even change it later on if you go through the processes. That's part of the, what you call it, the American spirit or the American way. The day that we say, well, government just said it, so therefore that's all there is to it, is the day that we lose a lot. But let's take a look at some stuff right now, cooking up a batch of what we like to call home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them up, man. Smelling good. All right. So, first of all, how many times have we talked on this show about school choice? And we're going to keep beating that drum. Brother, I'm just telling you, the day that we get true school choice in the state of Alabama is going to be a whole new day. And the teachers union, by the way, in Alabama is still one of the strongest, most powerful lobbying entities in Montgomery. And they've been giving a lot of money lately to Republicans. And if you'll notice, the reddest of red states, Alabama, does not have true meaningful school choice, much like other states have done. And people are starting to take note, to include in the Wall Street Journal. Piece here from 1819 News. Wall Street Journal op-ed slams Alabama for lagging behind on school choice, saying, quote, the Alabama GOP may as well be the party of the teachers' unions. Oh, that's rough, man. I'm just telling you. Says a recent opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal called out Alabama for being among several Republican-led southern states to lag behind on school choice while its lawmakers still receive big money from teachers' unions. And I'll just point out again that when the 2010 class of the legislature came in, which was when we flipped from the Democrats to Republicans, and I was a part of that wave, there was a pretty much a standing rule, Republicans don't take money from the teachers' union, because they were antithetical to things that we stood for. The state Republican Party still has, as part of its bylaws, that Republican candidates should not take money from the teachers' unions. They're blowing it off, though. So the op-ed was by a guy named John Tillman. He works for something called the American Culture Project. He discussed the school choice situation in Alabama, calling it egregious. He says, while the Alabama legislature expanded a limited scholarship program earlier this year, it failed to act on a bill that would have created universal education savings accounts, which just died in committee. Turns out a significant number of Republicans are actually friendly with the teachers' unions that wanted to kill the bill. So, yeah, he points out that the AEA, the Alabama Education Association, the teachers' union in Alabama, has given campaign money to 92 Republican legislators since 2019. Unbelievable. Some received as much as $80,000. Good gosh. While 46 of them received at least $20,000. The GOP chairman of the Senate Education Policy Committee received $40,000 from the union. He said, basically, there's that quote again. He says, the Alabama GOP may as well be the party of the teachers' unions. Well, listen, there's talk right now that there's going to be meaningful school choice legislation. Governor Ivey finally called for it. I mean, I don't know why it took this long, but she finally called for it recently. It polls extremely high. So if you're a true politician worried about the polling on the thing before you vote one way or the other, it polls beautifully. And it's a bipartisan polling. Well, anyway, you've got right now the fact that Tillman finished up by saying Republicans against school choice have largely couched their opposition by asserting that rural areas have few private options and need strong public schools. He said it's a flawed argument, since universal school choice would create new private options and spur competition that improves public education. That's the Wall Street Journal calling us out as a state. Y'all, that ain't good. That ain't good at all. And I'm hoping that legislators are paying attention. It is not just now conservatives in the state of Alabama saying, you got to do it, you got to do it. You have national organizations pointing at Alabama as a failed opportunity, one failed opportunity after another. And they've got to get off the pot, man. Got to. We'll wait and see how it plays out. Listen, when we come back from this next break, I'll tell you, we got several things to cover. Like, there's actually, and I know her, and so I'm surprised to hear this is being said, but Yellowhammer News has a piece that describes one lady who's running to be president of the Alabama Republican Women as being a anti-Trumper trying to derail Trump's campaign in Alabama. That's interesting. How about the Business Council of Alabama choosing not to make an endorsement of certain races? And then, oh, by the way, Alabama, the Detroit of the South, if you will, in terms of automotive manufacturing, is looking at possible unionization for the new Hyundai plant down in Montgomery. I say the Hyundai plant down in Montgomery. It goes on and on. News you got to know from around your state. We'll cook them up again, a second batch of home fries for the week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, before I jump back into home fries, John from Huntsville had just texted in, and I did see this, John. He asked, did we see that George Santos has been kicked out of the out of Congress? And yes, so that is an epic. Butters, you were looking at it before the show started. It's like the first time in 30 years that's happened or something like that.
What I saw, he's only the sixth.
Sixth time ever. Yeah. Well, yes. So first of all, I think the dude's days were numbered. I don't think he was ever going to get reelected. He was probably one of the squishiest, kind of strangest members of the overall GOP delegation or caucus. But I will say this. One thing that gives me pause in this is he's not been convicted. And right now we got Democrat Senator Bob Menendez, who is under major indictment for super corruption, taking bribes and, you know, working on behalf of foreign governments. And he's still sitting up there doing what he does. He lost his chairmanship, but he's still doing what he does and in the Senate. So if these are the rules, you know, if innocent until proven guilty is only unless you're in Congress. But at the same time, I get it. And I'll say this. You and I were talking before the show. This is a total – we're chasing a rabbit here, but it's a good rabbit. So George Santos, congressman from New York, kind of a weird dude, gets thrown out today by vote. It was a bipartisan vote. It was like 311 to 118 or something like
somewhere
that.
There.
Yeah. And so there were a lot of Republicans that voted against him. I will say this. He was also brought up he was brought up on this possibility by a Republican leadership. And so say what you will about this, but this was Republicans cleaning their own house, you know?
Yeah. And how much credit are the Republicans
None.
Getting?
None. Not getting anything. Meanwhile, Swalwell and Schiff get to say whatever they want to say in public and pretend they saw classified documents they never saw. And then you've got Menendez, who's got gold bricks hidden in his bedroom closet that came from Egypt. And it's just, it's unreal. But George Santos, who's just kind of weird and is under indictment, which by the way, serious indictments. But he's kicked out of Congress today, sixth time in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
So, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I got mixed feelings.
That's kind of, and it's, you know, somebody will probably get onto him on the rest of the Republicans for quote unquote selling out their fellow Republican instead of actually looking at the issues and going, well, you know, what's the right thing to do? So,
you know, it's interesting. I did see, though, that one member of his New York delegation, another Republican, said, "We want him gone." I mean, that was he had no friends back home is what it sounded like. I mean, when your own delegation is going, "Fellas, vote yes." You know, that's not good.
Can we actually just, he can stay in D.C., just not be part of Congress. Just don't let him come back to New York, please.
You know, he's probably going to be some kind of major lobbyist now and working for some, you know, sleazy organization and getting paid big bucks. Who knows? Yeah. If he's not in jail.
I'm sure it'll work out just fine for him.
All right. Butters, cook me up some home fries. Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah. So I found an interesting article. And by the way, you know, I sort of know Tiffany Noel. I don't know her well, but I do know her. She worked for Congressman Mo Brooks for quite a while. I think the world of Congressman Brooks. But I do know and I recognize that Congressman Brooks is, you know, his relationship with Donald Trump surely went south thanks to Trump's own behavior, actually. But in the end, I don't know how this article translates that way, because I would love to believe that some people can see through certain things and still, you know, vote for the top of the ticket and not do anyway. The bottom line is this. Yellowhammer News. Story came out last night. The statewide governing body of the Alabama Republican Women's Clubs, which, by the way, you may think, what is that, the women's club? What is it? It's actually a really big deal, and it's a pretty large group. And like, if you're a candidate, you got to go speak to the Republican women. This year, the biennial convention is being held starting this week, I believe, and they're looking at electing new leadership. And Tiffany Noel, because of some of the logistics related to the timing to qualify and all that kind of stuff, it appears that Tiffany Noel may win by default because she's the only name that officially got on the slate. However, a lady named Judy Barlow has said that she will challenge her on the floor of the convention. Interesting. Why is she doing this? Because they say in this article that there are deep concerns that Tiffany Noel, who was a dedicated ally, employee, and strategist for former Representative Mo Brooks, would in some way undermine the Trump campaign because of her relationship to Mo Brooks would then mean that she would try to undermine Trump's ability to be the guy on the ticket. I don't know that she would do that, to be honest. I really don't. Group members, it says, express concern over a never-Trump agenda being executed across the group's activism and support structure, saying she'll use the club to advance Brooks's political vendetta against Trump for withdrawing his endorsement from the U.S. Senate for Brooks in 2022. Oh, in 2022, Brooks also paid Noel a total of $166,000 when she was his district director. Okay, all that to say, I don't know, but it's one of those little political things that you look at and go, that's a story, but it's like a conjecture story. But there are concerns. There are concerns being raised that the potential leadership of the Republican women of Alabama could be a never-Trumper. I don't know. We'll see. I think she's going to wind up being the leader, though. There it is. A little more on home fries. So this is inside politics. All right, here's the thing. Do endorsements matter? Not always. You can see out there that Trump has endorsed some candidates, not endorsed others, and sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. Endorsements matter usually when you're down to the wire, like when you've got a close race. An endorsement is the kind of thing where you can go, I just don't know. They're both good. Oh, but that one did get a high mark from the NRA. Or that one did get a high mark from, you know, Club for Growth. Or that one, you know what I'm saying? Well, the end result is there are certain organizations around this state whose nominations mean something in that regard in their state level. One of them is the Business Council of Alabama, the BCA. Business Council of Alabama is a power broker organization. I don't think they are as much as they used to be, but they still are. And the BCA just made an unusual non-endorsement. What do I mean? Well, here's the way it works. Having done this before, having been endorsed by the BCA and others, myself, I can just tell you that when you look for their endorsement and then you find out they're kind of leaning towards your opponent, then if you can't get them on board with you, then what you do is hope they'll just stay out of it altogether, because that also sends a signal. It means that they really don't like the one who's leading in the polls, but they're just going to go ahead and stay out of it because they just can't go with that. They're not going to endorse because they just are going to try and schmooze the top of the ticket. It would be like saying somebody chose not to endorse Donald Trump. They just stayed out of it instead of endorsing his opponent. Well, here's the deal. BCA, you've heard Brian Taylor come into our studio multiple times. Brian Taylor is running to be the Chief Justice for the state of Alabama. He's a former JAG officer in the Army, served in Iraq, a longtime aide to both Governor Riley and Governor Ivey. Pretty solid dude, served with me in the Alabama State Senate. He's got a great pedigree. He is the conservative candidate running for Chief Justice against Sarah Stewart. Sarah Stewart has been getting some serious endorsements, except the BCA decided they're going to decline to endorse in that race. Why? Because Sarah Stewart has been on pretty much ruling from, you know, the bench in a way that hurts businesses left and right. And they're just not going to support that, but they also recognize she's still the top of the ticket, so they chose to stay out of it. That's interesting. I just find that interesting. Maybe I'm a political junkie, but I find that interesting. Here's one for you. AL.com reports that the UAW, the United Auto Workers. Yeah, I saw Butters. I saw you roll your eyes from over there. The UAW on Wednesday said that employees at non-union auto manufacturers across the U.S. have launched coordinated campaigns to organize. One of those is a push in potentially the Hyundai Motor Group's factory in Alabama, which I believe is down in the Montgomery area. Y'all, listen. I've got other stories that we're going to get to later in the show that clearly show that the recent auto strikes, the auto manufacturing strikes up in Detroit and others, had a massive impact on our overall supply chain. You've got dealerships right now that are unable to make sales because things didn't come out of Detroit. You've got a steel plant that is shutting down because one of its major company, one of its major, you know, sources of revenue was the auto manufacturing industry, and they haven't had it, and they just lost everything. So all I'm saying is, we have seen our economy jump because of auto manufacturing in the state. If you want to see them unionized and run the risk of striking again in solidarity with our friends in wherever, California, Michigan, this is a direct result of having the Biden administration in place, because they are so pro-union that there has been a massive uptick in unionization. In fact, I saw that somewhere in this article where it says that it is, let me see if I can find it. It says, for decades, the presence of unions have been on the wane in the United States, most especially in the South. However, the last few years have seen a flurry of organizing activity touching a spectrum of workers in Georgia, from baristas to beer making, from delivery drivers to doctoral students, some successful and some not.
I'm curious, who's doing the organizing? Is it other Alabamians? Is it folks there?
No, the union comes in and they stir it up, and they call them for meetings, and they want to meet with them, and they pressure them to do it. Now, luckily, I will tell you this: in Alabama, when I was in the legislature, we passed a law to make Alabama a right-to-work state, meaning you can't be required to join a union. And then we also not only did that, we not only codified it, we got it embedded in our state constitution. We are a right-to-work state. So they have to do some uphill climbing to get unionized, but they're trying. We had one of the Amazon facilities down in Bessemer has been going through it for the last 2 years. I think the last story that I'll have here on some home fries is this one. The Autauga-Prattville Public Library Board. So AlabamaReflector.com is a fairly new news source. Fairly liberal news source, I'll be honest. They didn't bother talking much about the strange books that keep showing up in the Autauga-Prattville Public Library. They did touch on it barely in the article, but what's happened is the Autauga Public Library Board. Why are libraries contentious? It's a library. But nonetheless, the Autauga-Prattville Public Library Board just had three of its members resign. I think they saw the handwriting on the wall and just didn't want to be a part of this anymore. Why? Because it's scary having to make decisions that, you know, are actually impactful and, you know, like pulling pornography out of the kids section. Anyway, there we go. All right, take it to a break, Butters. We'll do that right now. Cooked up some home fries for you. Got to know what's going on around you. Y'all, I'm just saying, listen, there's a, by the way, text messages came in. I'll get a few of those before we go, and then I'll give you the update on what to expect for the SEC Championship this weekend, even though it's not my team. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.